Thank you, Carl. It is 44 or 7. It's 8:30, and on the phone, it is Sioux, Michigan Mayor Don Gehry and City Manager Brian Chapman. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Mark. We're doing great.
Don Gehry, once again, speaking for the crowd, doing great.
First of the trigger.
So, last night, City Commission meeting, and as per usual, it seems like they've been pretty quick, although you were talking about one that's coming up here in a couple weeks, or maybe a month or so, where you're going to have people talking about the taxes and everything, which I would imagine maybe it'd be a little bit longer. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But let's get a recap last night. Brian, we'll let you start first. Some of the highlights from last night's meeting that you want to touch on?
Yeah, I mean, there was some routine work. I mean, it wasn't too exciting of a meeting. There's a couple projects that we're moving forward with at the DPW complex. One of the facilities needs a new roof, and the other facility needs some attic insulation work done. So we approved those contracts. An exciting opportunity for the downtown. The DDA has decided to combine a couple of their older programs into one new program. They'll have probably about less than $10,000 available, but they're going to do a new sign and small facade improvement program that they'll be able to market and communicate to the businesses. So people will be able to take an opportunity they had to update their signage or their facades. And, you know, the look of the downtown is always important to us, so that'd be a good program for us. And then, not just to recap the whole meeting, we've got some budget talks going on. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Other than that, it was pretty quick, pretty orderly meeting.
One of the things that came up last night, Don, was the fact that, and Brian mentioned it in his report, was that the boat launch down at the Ani Osborne Park, I think it was got pretty beat up over the winter, and not the money in the budget for it, but that Linda Hoth and the Visitors and Convention Bureau are going to do some fundraising to help do the repairs on that, because it's such an important part of when people come here, that boat launch, for people to get out there and enjoy the water.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. Thanks for bringing that up. The Ani Osborne boat launch, which is the William Gregory boat launch, was, you know, the high water and the freeze-thaw cycle did some extraordinary damage to the concrete pad that's outside of the water. And, Linda Hoth and the CBB stepped up, and they are going to institute a fundraising campaign to help us raise, you know, roughly $20-some thousand dollars. That's going to cost to replace that pad. I know the St. Mary's Walleye Club, a bunch of people have stepped up and said they would help in some way, shape, or form, too. So it's been a free launch, you know, forever, and just as all of our launches in the city are, but it's coming to the point where they all need a little bit of work, and they're getting beat up by the weather a bit, and we need some help. So, you know, recently I went fishing downstate, and I think every community I've been to has a donation post or can, and or has a mandatory fee. And, you know, we have not talked about that yet. We've talked about it in the past, and then the tribe stepped up to help us out. But it's time where we need to designate, allocate some money towards the repair of some of these facilities. The pad will be fantastic. It'll get it ready for certainly the tournaments that are coming to town this year, but all of the launches still need a little bit of work, especially in the water area. And so, you know, those are things we're going to have to think about in the future, is how are we going to fund those, and how are we as sportsmen and sportswomen and fishermen and just boaters going to help support the launches around town?
Well,
you know, we've always, like I said, we've always offered a free launch, and whether you're from Sault Ste. Marie or from Dafter Pickford or from Detroit, you can come here and launch a boat for free. And you know, that really doesn't help allocate any cost to fixing up the launches. So longer-term discussion, but thank you to CBB, and reach out to Linda Hoth if you want to donate some money towards the project. I think Brian mentioned last night, it's about $18,000 or $19,000 worth of concrete, and then about $6,000 worth of prep work. So it's a pretty costly project just to repair that pad.
Well, and as you mentioned too, it's not just the local people that get out on the water or whatever. There's a lot of tourism, and there's all these tournaments that come to town that bring a lot of money into the community from all these big fishing teams that come in to compete in these various tournaments that take place on the St. Mary's River and throughout the waterways. And obviously that brings a lot of money and a lot of income into the restaurants and the hotels and things like that, and brings a lot of notoriety to Sault Ste. Marie. And that's important too, and it's important to have that facility at its peak condition for those events to take place.
Absolutely. We want to continue to be known as a great fishing area and boating area and a safe place to launch your boat, and not something that, you know, you lost an axle on. So
absolutely. Brian, another thing that you mentioned last night, and I know we've talked about it for quite a while, is the placemaking project that's going to be taking place downtown. I know we're getting closer to the start of that. Do we have a date for when that's going to start taking place?
We do. So we've approved all the contracts. We've got everything in place. We've had our pre-construction meetings now, and we have our timeline. So the phases for the project, the first one will be North Court. That'll be starting May 17th, and that'll wrap about June 17th. And then we'll move to South Court. That'll run about June 21st to July 15th. Then we'll be in Oka Alley, working on those parking lots and that strip there. It'll be July 19th to August 27th. And then we'll wrap up the season with Arlington and the parking lot around the fire hall, which will start about August 30th and wrap up before the fall starts here. So a lot of moving pieces. We're putting together some parking plans. We met with staff yesterday to kind of make a map up of where everybody can park, because we're going to have to shift a lot of people around the downtown this summer. So it's going to be a very frustrating summer. But like we've always said, the output of this project will be worth the frustration. So it's going to be a rough summer, but we'll get through it. We're going to start communicating those parking plans within the next couple of days here. We know we're going to get to the start of the construction, but we want to make sure we have enough parking for everyone. So we're going to reach out to some of the private property owners that aren't utilizing their parking right now, and try to see if we can make it available for the public for that time being while we're in those areas. So a lot of moving pieces still, but we're really excited for it. So, again, we'll start with North Court, and that'll be May 17th is what we're looking for.
And I would imagine that those plans, people can find them on the city Facebook page and on the city website?
Yes, yep. And we'll be putting it on their social media accounts. We'll put it on the website. We'll be doing direct flyers. We'll be going door-to-door, just making sure everybody knows what's going on.
Don, will you be doing that door-to-door campaign?
Oh, hey, I'd love to. Been there, done that. I got to tell you, I was very excited and relieved to see how the contractor is going to be executing this contract by finishing one pod at a time or one unit at a time, and then moving to the next instead of tearing up the whole town and then, you know, piecemealing it. So this is very exciting to see. And as Brian said, it will be a disruption, but I think it'll be a manageable one, and people can see the progress. When you see number one complete and they're working on number two, I think you're going to be fired up.
What about the Easter Day project? When is that going to start taking place?
So this summer we're going to be doing a lot of smaller projects, some utility relocations, some upgrades. The full tear out and reconstruction will happen next summer. So okay. We still have a lot of work to do in terms of design and prep work between the two locations on Easter Day and Carbide Dock, on top of these projects, and I think the three other projects we have going on this summer. You know, there's just not enough time in the day. So the major, major work of Easter Day will happen next summer, but there'll still be a lot of activity along that stretch of road. You'll see survey crews out there. You'll see some of our crews out there and some other contractors too. So it won't be too disruptive this summer.
And I think was it last meeting, did I see something that there's going to be some apartments built up around the Smart Zone area? Is that something that the city's going to be doing, or has that property been sold to somebody to develop for apartments up there?
Yeah, Don, you want to take one?
Sure. We've had some parcels of property around the airport industrial zone for sale for quite a while, and Dan and Kim Arbick have a development company, and they stepped up and have picked up five parcels of property, and they're going to put some market rate apartments in there. And when you say apartments, it you know, doesn't give you the visual of what they're looking at. It's more like townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
Each unit that you would have has its own garage and private entrance.
Nice.
So it's not like a traditional apartment building. So they'll be a little bit higher end, but, you know, affordable. And they have quite a good plan at doing that. And so we, you know, Dan and Kim have been looking at the city of Sault Ste. Marie to develop something for quite a few years. And a couple of the projects fell through because of wetlands and some other issues. And we're very excited that they are continuing to look at city of Sault Ste. Marie for development. Have picked up these parcels of property. I don't know what their development schedule is, but they're looking at different modes of development, such as brownfield. That was an old airport site, as we all know. The Sanderson Field terminal was over on that side, so they're going to have to tear out some concrete pads and do a little bit of remediation before they build. But it's a really exciting project, and exciting to have them as developers. Moving forward in the Sioux, and it's going to fill a much-needed void that we have. We had a study done downtown several years ago that said we have a missing middle market for housing, and I think the EDC is working on a housing study right now, and I'm sure it'll come up with the same conclusions that we have a missing middle market. And what the realtors keep telling us, and people from out of town that are looking to come up here, that there really is a void of adequate housing for, that middle market.
Well, and they do great work. Dan did this building that we're in, and it's a great facility. I know it's been a while since you guys have been in here, but it looks great. So,
where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. We missed coming into the studio in the morning, and but we'll be back soon, I'm sure.
Eventually, yeah. Eventually we'll get back to that. So.
But no, exciting project. Thanks for asking about that.
Mm-hmm. Other thing, and is there anything else that you want? I know that one of the things that was going on last night, you had one of the firemen on last night to talk about. I know that the budget has really taken a huge hit this past year because of COVID and everything, and you've had to make some pretty tough decisions as far as cuts and everything. And I don't know if you had to make a cut in the fire department, and that's why. That gentleman was on last night to talk about that, but if you want to just talk about what he was talking about and any potential cuts to services at the fire department or any other areas at the services that the city provides.
I think we'll have Brian start this one out, and then I'll give the political wrap-up.
Okay.
Yeah, so the budget, we're wrapping up the budget development for the next fiscal year, which starts July and runs to next June. And it's rough in terms of trying to make ends meet. I wouldn't necessarily contribute everything to COVID. A lot of it is just the structural financing mechanisms that the state and the city has in play, and just the fact that our expenditures exceed those revenues. So kind of looking at the revenue side of the budget, for the most part, the utilities, they're okay, because the utilities are based on usage. And those are handled well, and they're managed well. It's the general fund that pays for your typical government services, city hall staff, police, fire, parks, all that good stuff. You know, the revenues that come into there, which are primarily your property taxes, some charges for services, things of that nature, it's flat. And I looked at the numbers last night real quick, and the amount of revenue that we had in 2010 is about the same that we're operating with right now. So our revenues have not gone up significantly in that fund, but just like everything else, on the expenditure side, they have gone up. And that's, you know, anything from utilities like light, electricity, gas, phones, internet, to personnel costs, you know, everything has gone up. And unfortunately, our revenues just don't keep pace with that. So we've had to make some tough cuts. I've put the organization down on a hiring freeze for certain departments right now. Unfortunately, the fire department is one of those areas. But there are two open spots right now at the fire department. There will be three. We've been recruiting for at least one of those spots for the last 8 months or so. We've been recruiting for two of those spots probably since January, and there's just not a lot of applicants. And now part of that is there's not a lot of people going into that type of work anymore, into local government, would be cops or firefighters. and COVID froze all of our academies last year, and the cadets weren't able to do their hands-on exams or their hands-on practicum. So there's not an influx of new certified individuals that could apply for these jobs. So, you know, it was a tough decision. I stewed on it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but, you know, ultimately we had to do what's in the best interest of the organization and the community.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to fill those spots, we would be looking at making staff cuts in other locations. And
right.
The difference is hiring freeze of not filling currently open positions or having to lay off actual people at desks right now. And every department we have right now, for the most part, is at minimum manning, I would say. It's a term that you typically hear used with public safety fields, and that's the number of people that have to be on a shift to make things work. And if you apply that concept to all of our departments, there are no backups. There is no fluff. I mean, we have cut everything we can to balance the budget, and realistically, the only spot that's left are, unfortunately, personnel numbers. So we've had to make some tough cuts. It wasn't easy. The commission really kind of, I don't want to say they balked at it, but the commission knew that this was a tough choice. Nobody likes this. Nobody's really advocating for
right.
it. But from my standpoint, I would rather not fill open spots throughout the organization in some areas than have to lay somebody off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that every organization, whether it's a city like this or a business, or whatever, is facing, you know, similar situations like this and having to make tough decisions. So, I mean, I don't think you're alone in this, Brian, and I completely understand. Don, I know you wanted to add in on this too.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, we as an organization have to live within our means, and mm-hmm. and the budget process is long, it's very intense, and it's comprehensive. Brian and the administration and all the department heads, and I'll say all the staff, have been working on this since last year, probably November, so they get a lot of input from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we charge Brian, obviously, with the total operation of the city and every component unit. There's more than just one department involved. And, you know, we want to make sure, and Brian wants to make sure, that we provide essential services to the city of Sault Ste. Marie. That includes police, that includes fire, that includes roads, that includes parks, that includes EDC and BDA and every other area. And, you know, this budget year is very difficult. We're hoping that 2022 is a little bit better, and maybe we'll have some surprises in 2021 as far as some of the bazillions of dollars from the federal government. Maybe they'll actually make their way to the municipalities where, you know, we have been hurt probably more than anybody, and we've received less money, in fact, about zero money,
mm-hmm.
In these bailout things. You know, we wanted to make sure that this year the parks get open, the restrooms get open, and we have a lot of capital projects that are going forward. And because of, you know, some of the increase in costs, we have had to put more money in from the general fund. So, you know, there are a lot of different things to balance out. And as far as the revenues decreasing, if you... you know, take a look at that dark store stuff. If Meijer and Walmart had not sued the city based on a false premise, we would have had enough money to maintain those positions.
Right.
We lost several hundred thousand dollars per year just from those things. If the state of Michigan had actually shared revenue, which they are supposed to by statute, then we probably wouldn't have had to cut some of those positions. We've had a lot of retirements coming up this year, and that costs money. There's just a... I think Brian said last night, it's kind of a perfect storm in 2021, and not to mention the effects of COVID and some of the slowdown in the fee income and the other revenues. So 2021 is kind of an anomaly, and we're hoping that, you know, we will focus on essential services, make sure that everything is taken care of. But, you know, meanwhile, we are investing in the future of Sault Ste. Marie with some of these projects and taking advantage of some of the massive grants that we got. And so 2022 will get better, and we will get out of this situation. You know, we're certainly, even if you look at his two-year budget, 2021 is a little bit bleak, but 2022 looks better. And certainly those are just for projecting, but you know, we're all in this together as a community, and we are not the only community going through this. I can tell you just about every community in the UP is having similar issues. And, you know, by attrition, there is some job elimination. And yes, the firefighters have every reason to be concerned, as does the police department, as the Department of Public Works and some of the other departments, EDC and DDA, too, that got cut as well. So, you know, it's you don't want to say we're right-sizing because sometimes it's a little bit downsizing, but, you know, we have to live within our means, still deliver the services and keep our heads high and realize we are public servants and that's why we're here, and we'll keep going forward. So, you know, I think that Brian did a great job with the budget, and, you know, it's not pretty, but it will prepare us for the future and hopefully for some revenue growth and service growth in subsequent years.
Well, like I say, sometimes you got to make hard decisions, and they're not easy things, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And like you say, hopefully down the road things will get better, and we'll be better off for some of the tough decisions that were made this year, right?
Right, exactly.
And speaking of public services and everything, you started the meeting last night, Don, with a recognition of the police department and something that's coming up here in the next week or so.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I had a proclamation that was written by the police chief, and I won't read the whole thing because it was kind of long, but we're asking the citizens of Sault Ste. Marie to observe the week of May 9th through May 15th as Police Week, in which all people may join in commemorating law enforcement officers, past and present, who by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities have rendered a dedicated service to their communities, and in doing have established themselves an enduring reputation for preserving the rights and security of all citizens. And also, Saturday, May 15th is recognized as Peace Officers Memorial Day to honor all those law enforcement officers who, through their courageous deeds, have made the ultimate sacrifice or become disabled in the performance of duty and service to their community. It's especially important in these political times that we recognize that we support and back our peace officers. I'm really discouraged and disappointed by some of the political atmosphere, but I can tell you we have a top-notch police force here, and you know, they've all come through the training, a lot of them at LSSU and certainly the MCOLS training, and they're up to speed with modern policing, and we're very proud of them, and we're very happy and supportive of our police and fire professionals. So we certainly back the blue, as people say.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
Yep,
and,
no question.
And very fortunate to where we live is we don't see a lot of the stuff that we see in the news that happens. You know, I think that's why a lot of us live where we live. It's very, very peaceful, very you know, mostly law-abiding citizens in Sault Ste. Marie.
Yep.
You know,
that's right. We and we all like each other. I mean, it's a great thing about Ubers. You know, we say it all the time that if somebody gets in trouble here, there's, you know, 20 people to back them up. It's
right.
It's really kind of heartwarming to see. It's a tight-knit community, and I think that we all believe that we are all created equal. So, yeah, that's definitely why I live here.
Quick question, and I know it's a ways off, and maybe a decision hasn't been made, but I know people will start asking, are we going to have a 4th of July parade this year, guys?
I do not know about the parade. I think a different group organizes that, and I have not heard anything, but we are for sure having the fireworks.
Okay, good. That's good. Good to know. All right, so we'll have to see about the parade. And anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Brian wants to talk about citywide cleanup.
Okay.
Probably a lot better than just saying, nope, I'm good. I just got to pull it up here because I can't remember the dates. We are moving forward with the citywide cleanup. It's going to look a little different this year, given the restrictions that everyone's still under and some of the uneasiness of COVID. There's not going to be a picnic. We're not doing T-shirts this year. But we're still encouraging everyone to get out and help clean up the city a little bit. That'll be May 15th, 2021, from 9 a.m. to noon. And you can go on our you can go on our Facebook, and there's contact information for Mary Jo Duval, who's organizing the event, and you can register with her. So it's a good event. The springtime, whenever the snow melts, always kind of airs our blemishes and some of the junk that's accumulated over the winter. So the city staff does a good job at trying to clean it up, but we can always use more hands. And you know, it's a good event to come on out and give back to your community. So May 15th, 9 a.m. to noon will be the citywide cleanup.
Excellent. Anything else you wanted to add, Don?
No, I think that's great. Thank you very much for everything you do for the community and for all the information you funnel out to us. And hope to see everybody out on Citywide Cleanup Day, and be a good time for our radio stations to compete with each other for how much garbage they pick up.
Well, I mean, I think we'd win. We have more staff than they do, so I mean, it doesn't seem like it'd be a fair. It doesn't seem like it'd be fair to the Ellises. I mean, they're great people and all, but they're just two people, you know. So, so before we go, I mentioned this before we went on the air. Today is May the 4th, so it is Star Wars Day. And when I thought of Star Wars Day, I thought it was perfect that I had you two on because you both seem like you would be fans of the Star Wars franchise. Are you?
I am.
Brian, you are. I mean, Don, are you a fan of the Star Wars at all or not?
I've never watched a Star Trek or a Star Wars episode until once I took my kids and I honestly fell asleep. So I
really?
I couldn't tell you who the characters are. I couldn't tell you what the theme is. So
Brian,
I'm sorry.
Brian,
no, I'm
is
not
that
a...
shocking to you, Brian?
I know I'm a peculiar guy, I guess.
You're a very strange person there, Don Gary. I don't know. So Brian, all right, well, then forget Don. So, Brian, I will ask you, first of all, what is your favorite Star Wars character?
I'm a Boba Fett fan.
And if you could, then since Don doesn't know anything about Star Wars, I will ask you, which Star Wars character does Don Gary remind you of?
Oh, I'm going to Google this.
Oh, you know, my review is coming up and all that fun stuff. So I'll say he's my Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Wow, that's
how do you spell that?
That's oh. Yes, you. The drones you're looking for aren't here. You let them go. Yes, yes. He's a great city manager. Just give him a raise.
Yeah. How about you, Mark? Tell us your favorite.
My favorite character. My favorite character is probably Chewbacca.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And why?
I don't know, because because he doesn't have any lines. I mean, he just goes, roar!
Yeah. Yeah. Just like your radio show.
Just like my radio show, yeah, basically, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Basically, yeah.
I'm going to pay for that.
I'm shocked that you don't know anything about Star Wars, Don. I mean, you just seem like...
I know. I'm just not one of the cool kids, sorry.
I mean, apparently you are one of the cool kids, because I think the Star Wars people were the geeks and everything, you know? So.
No,
that was always my experience, you know?
I just never had a for sci-fi. I don't know why.
Wow. Just too cool for it, huh?
No, not at all.
All
didn't
right.
understand it, I guess.
All right, well, we'll let you guys go then. I'm completely disappointed. I look at you in a completely different light now, Don Gary.
Yeah, does that mean we're not friends anymore?
People run against him when the next election that he didn't like Star Wars. How can you vote for this guy?
The Force is not with him.
I did have a funny thing happen to me one time when I was in banking, though. I was waiting in the judge's chambers for a small claims suit that we were taking, and a lot of people funneled in, and they all had Star Wars garb on. They were having a Star Wars wedding, and I was in the front row, so I got sandwiched in between all of them, and I felt like a fish out of water because I had no idea what was going on, but it was pretty funny.
That's funny. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again next month. All right?
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Mayor Don Gary and City Manager Brian Chapman joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.
How do I Google? Obi-Wan Kenobi. What the hell is that?
It's a guy. It's not a thing. It's a guy.